But Tom's energy did not last. He began to think of the fun he had planned for this day, and his sorrows multiplied. Soon the free boys would come tripping along on all sorts of delicious expeditions, and they would make a world of fun of him for having to work. The very thought of it burnt him like fire. He got out his worldly wealth and examined it. Bits of toys, marbles, and trash. Enough to buy an exchange of work, maybe, but not enough to buy so much as half an hour of pure freedom. So he returned his straitened means to his pocket and gave up the idea of trying to buy the boys. At this dark and hopeless moment, an inspiration burst upon him. Nothing less than a great, magnificent inspiration. He took up his brush and went tranquilly to work. Ben Rogers hove in sight presently, the very boy of all boys whose ridicule he had been dreading. Ben's gait was the hop, skip, and jump, proof enough that his heart was light and his anticipations high. He was eating an apple and giving a long, melodious whoop at intervals, followed by a deep-toned ding-dong-dong, ding-dong-dong, for he was personating a steamboat. As he drew near, he slackened speed, took the middle of the street, leaned far over to starboard, and rounded to ponderously and with laborious pomp and circumstance, for he was personating the Big Missouri and considered himself to be drawing 9 feet of water. He was boat and captain and engine bells combined, so he had to imagine himself standing on his own hurricane deck giving the orders and executing them. "Stopper, sir! Ling, ling, ling." The headway ran almost out, and he drew up slowly towards the sidewalk. "Ship up the back! Ling, ling, ling." His arms straightened and stiffened down his sides. "Set her back on the starboard! Ling, ling, ling. Chow! Chow, wow, chow!" His right hand, meantime, describing stately circles, for it was representing a 40-foot wheel. "Let her go back on the labboard. Ling-a-ling-a-ling. Chow, chow, chow." The left hand began to describe circles. "Stop the stabboard. Ling-a-ling-a-ling. Stop the labboard. Come ahead on the stabboard. Stop her. Let your outside turn over slow. Ling-a-ling-a-ling. Chow, wow, wow. Get that headline. Lively now. Come, out with your spring line. What are you about there? Take a turn round that stump with the bite of it. Stand by that stage now. Let her go. Down with the engine, sir. Ling-a-ling-a-ling. Shh-shh-shh-shh-shh-shh." Trying the gauge cocks. Tom went on whitewashing, paid no attention to the steamer. Ben stared a moment and then said, "Hiya, you're up a stump, ain't you?" No answer. Tom surveyed his last touch with the eye of an artist. Then he gave his brush another gentle sweep and surveyed the result as before. Ben ranged up alongside of him. Tom's mouth watered for the apple, but he stuck to his work. Ben said, "Hello, old chap. You got to work, hey?"
"Why, it's you, Ben. I weren't noticing."
"Say, I'm going in a swimming, I am. Don't you wish you could? But of course, you'd draw the work, wouldn't you? Of course you would."
Tom contemplated the boy a bit and said, "What do you call work?"
"Why, ain't that work?"
Tom resumed his whitewashing and answered carelessly, "Well, maybe it is, and maybe it ain't. All I know is it suits Tom Sawyer."
"Oh, come now, you don't mean to let on that you like it?"
The brush continued to move. "Like it? Well, I don't see why I oughtn't to like it. Does a boy get a chance to whitewash a fence every day?" That put the thing in a new light. Ben stopped nibbling his apple. Tom swept his brush daintily back and forth, stepped back to note the effect, added a touch here and there, criticized the effect again, Ben watching every move and getting more and more interested, more and more absorbed. Presently, he said, "Say, Tom, let me whitewash a little."